Welcome to episode 102 of Bat and Spider. We're back another week. I'm Chuck, your Dale, and we're here with you folks to talk about this week, Bone from 1972, directed by Larry Cohen, friend of the show, Grugrux Dave. This felt like a locomotive starting real slow, trying to find its groove and pacing. But when it starts chugging along and all the pieces start falling into place, it comes into the station real smooth by the end.
Interesting.
So listen to... keep listening to the show. Don't stop now, please. We've checked previous numbers, and most people stop listening to the episode soon after I start to speak on any of these episodes, Chuck. So I don't know if you check the numbers as much as I do, but yes, Anchor PR kind of has reached out to me and said, like, why do you
do this?
Wait,
they stop listening when you start talking?
As soon as
about
I start
movies?
To introduce the show, they're just like,
just at the beginning.
They're just like, get a professional or just stop.
Wow.
I never told you that until right now.
And I'm going to have to digest that, and we'll come back to that maybe at a later date. See if there's anything we can do. Just kidding. I don't care.
That's right. We don't care. Because you know who cares? Friends of our show.
They care about us. We don't care about them.
Right.
Okay? That's how this works. Oh, yeah, we make the art. You appreciate it. Not the other way around.
Fawn at our feet. Is that a word? Fawn at our feet?
Yeah.
Fawning all over us.
Fawn at my toes.
What a heck of a week it's been since we last spoke, you know? You know what I'm talking about.
Today started off okay. It was warm out. It was sunny finally. It was like, it got up to 62. Ooh. I went outside with my, just in a t-shirt.
Yeah, you did.
Ran some errands. It felt great. I was blasting pavement very loudly with the windows open.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not embarrassing at all for a 40-year-old blasting 90s indie rock, you know?
It's great. Yeah.
And, but then my mind just started folding in on itself, and I was just, today just ended with lots of dread, you know?
No.
Existential.
No.
my life, just, you know, obsessing over things coming up this year, and just feeling the weight of it all.
Oh, shit.
So,
well, God,
you asked.
Yeah. And I was hoping to, I mean, I was hoping for kind of a distraction and diversion from similar, you know, similar thoughts that I've been having. I mean, it's, you know,
I feel like I should be watching more. Maybe I should get back to watching some, like, you know, straight to VHS Kung Fu movies. Cause I keep watching these heavy movies, including Bone. And maybe my psyche's not. Maybe I need to give myself a break.
Maybe that's what it is.
I did watch a very interesting movie, though, that I would like to talk about, Dale.
Yeah. Do it.
It's called The Man Who Stole the Sun from 1979.
Oh. You linked to this in the Discord, I think, before you spoke of it.
Yeah. So before that, I watched... I think it's probably my first Yakuza movie. I watched Battles Without Honor and Humanity, which was incredible. One of the main actors in that, what is his name? Bunto Sugawara. Take your time. Sound it out. I was in love with this guy. He's incredible. So I looked at his, you know, what stuff he's been in, and I saw this movie called The Man Who Stole the Sun. It has the most amazing poster. It's like, you know, it's a Japanese movie from 79. And if you know, you know, it's like all those Japanese posters from the 60s and 70s. Lots of collage work and amazing day-glow colors. And and it's like, you read the description, a high school science teacher who all the students laugh at him. They call him Bubblegum. And he ends up stealing plutonium and building an atomic bomb in his apartment.
Jesus Christ.
And I was like, I gotta see this. This sounds interesting. And and the other very weird thing is that it gets compared to Taxi Driver. And the weird thing about that is that one of the co-writers is an American man, Leonard Schrader, who is apparently Paul Schrader's brother. Wow. Which I had no idea. I guess he's worked with Paul on some other, on like Blue Collar and Mishima. Wow. Interesting. But this movie, it's long. It's like 2.5 hours. So it's a commitment. But I liked it. It's weird because it's like, he is technically a terrorist once he builds this bomb because he gets in contact with this one police officer that he knows and starts asking for things. But it's the way I described it. It's like, what is a person who gets the power of a god who lives in like a modern neoliberal country where like all your material needs are basically met. Like life is not really hard.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't really have, this character, he doesn't seem to have any like political beliefs. So there's nothing like, he doesn't really have anything. he just had this nerdy science urge to build this bomb. But he's never like overtly like giving a reason why. I think it's for him, it's more the act of doing it. And then he has this power. Because what he does is the first thing he does is he makes the cops keep. Like every night he likes watching baseball on the TV, but they never show the whole game because the local news interrupts it. So he demands that the police let the game be shown the whole way through.
I like it.
And he's like sitting with his bomb in a hotel room and he's watching the game on the TV and it keeps going. They don't go to break and he feels very powerful.
It just feeds into him, his power trip.
Yeah, but it's not really, he never really gets a power trip. That's the weird thing about this movie. I don't know. I don't want to say any more than that because I recommend people, if any of that resonated with you, it's worth seeking out. It's an odd movie. Oh, and it has this soundtrack that's very, it's very like Paul McCartney, like late 70s Paul McCartney Wings kind of. Ooh. And it's like, it kind of doesn't match the movie and it, I feel like it, and it's very like jaunty for like the first half, and it's like really up in the mix. And it's an odd pairing that I kind of loved because it's not the music that you would associate with a lot of these scenes. Yeah, there's some. God, I mean, I love when shout out to, I'm going to say another name, Kazuhiko Hasegawa. For all the choices he made in this, I think this guy's only directed 2 movies. That's all I see. 2 movies.
Dang.
But seemed like an artist to me. I really enjoyed the ride. It's hard to find, but it's on archive.org. That's where I found the copy.
How did you know to check there? That's, I mean, in your mind.
One of our listeners mentioned it, but I was also.
Wow.
Sometimes if you just troll through every Letterboxd review, someone usually links to it, especially on like obscure movies.
Right.
Or they'll mention, oh, I watched it on archive.org. Though I got to say, have you ever tried to search anything on archive.org? Because I don't know how to do it. It never comes up, the things I want, even though I know they're there. But I think if you use Google, it works better. I don't know. If anyone knows how to work the search bar in archive.com, let me know. Right.
Thanks. That's why, you know, the relationships that we form through this show, you know, the people willing to help other people,
yeah,
including us and you, you know,
they enabled me to see movies that I have no access to.
My heart weeps,
you know, and I don't want, you know, I don't want to steal these movies. If it was available, I'd gladly put my money down. I would love to give Mr. Hasegawa $10 for the
just
maybe maybe I'll find him. Maybe I'll find him. Just Venmo him.
Yeah.
I wonder if he's still alive.
Just please keep your Venmo transactions to private. Everybody listening. Everybody listening.
I mean, that's a sick website. I mean, that's just diseased.
It's crazy.
It's diseased. People I apologize to anyone who's offended right now, but there's something wrong with you. If you need to show off that you paid just for your fifth of dinner and night out with your friends.
Right.
Like, good for you.
Yeah. Here's get proof. The net. Get the net. Okay. We know. Yeah. You paid for Zumba class. Okay.
I don't want to socialize my money, Dale.
Just everybody, just please, just stop the show. You're going to anyway. Go to your Venmo app and change the settings. All right?
Yeah.
Let's pretend like nobody knows anybody else's money business. Okay?
Thank you. Thank you. I'm glad, you know, someone had to say it. I'm glad you did, Dale.
And that's why people come here for the life advice. Yeah, Chuck, that's cool that you watch that movie. I don't have a whole lot. You know, I just had a rough couple of days at work, and I was going to take my kids to the movies to see Sonic 2.
Oh.
And I had to bail out on them. I'm like Zach Morris's dad. I got called into work, and it was a rough weekend. And when I wasn't working, I was just too tired to attempt anything out of the ordinary.
Man alive.
Yeah.
Hey, we all been there.
I'm deeper into The Witcher than I have ever been before. And that's saying something. I mean, I enjoy my time with The Witcher.
Good.
So that's my video game update. But, you know, I'm just having this chaotic kind of feeling this past couple of days. Like, there's all these things that I want to do. And I keep it all jumbled in my brain, and I don't know how to prioritize. So I spend 5 minutes on this subject, 5 minutes on that, 5 minutes, you know, like, so I'll like spend half a day pricing, for example, like family vacations when I know, but then at the end of that half day, I'm like, what the fuck am I doing? I can't afford a vacation anyway. So why don't I just waste 4 hours of my day fucking around researching vacations when I could have been, buying a new rain downspout for my rain gutter that's just spewing rainwater all over my foundation, you know, or it's just
I need gutters, period.
Oh God, you need gutters, period. Jesus, don't let me know that. I'm going to stay up on your behalf.
But can you even get a guy to come put gutters on your house? I mean, every time I talk to anyone around here about home improvement since COVID, and we're like, hey, you can't schedule, everyone's scheduling like a year out. Everyone's too busy.
Yeah.
You can't find anyone. So that's just me. Like in my head, I'm like, oh, so the prices are really high.
Yeah. That's definite.
And I'm going to end up going the cheaper out and getting some schmo hawk who doesn't know what he's doing. And I'm going to have shitty gutters. That's what I'm going to do.
Well,
might as well just line buckets on my roof.
So I'm speaking from zero experience whatsoever, but I think maybe having no gutters is better than having like a downspout that goes to nowhere, you know, because then it just, the downspout diverts all the roof water and plunges it into one spot next to your foundation. At least if you have no gutters, it just spreads it out, right?
Yeah.
I mean, how old is your house? It's old.
60s, I think.
Presumably, it hasn't ever had gutters on it.
No, it had gutters on it.
Oh, shit.
That's the dumb thing.
Oh, shit.
When we bought the house, like, there were some spouts still on there, but all the gutters had been taken off for God knows why.
Oh, man.
God knows why.
My guts. I just got gut. If anybody can help Chuck out, please reach out to him. Okay, we got to get some gutters.
I can't afford it right now. I'm not going to, there's no way I can afford it right now. So I can't even.
You're right.
I'm not going there.
Yeah. Just, you know what? Just start researching family vacations. That's all.
Thank you. I'll research buying a new office chair for 3 hours. Yes, right. In your honor.
Thank you. Please.
The amount of time I've spent searching for a new office chair, Dale, in the last 6 months.
Right. Yes, I know what you mean. I know what you mean. And then 2 days later, a week later, you're like, let me close all these tabs. It's not going to happen.
Yes. Oh, the tabs stay open forever. The tabs
stay open because you're going to get back to it.
Yeah. And sometimes I get a real hair across my ass and I go to Staples. I'm like, fuck it. I need to try these chairs out.
Yes.
So yeah. I go in there and I spend 30 minutes. I look like an idiot.
Right.
Trying every chair in the store that they have
on
display. Can I help you, sir? No, I'm just looking. Just
trying some chairs.
Just pulling them all out, sitting on them.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing how loosey-goosey they've been from everyone trying them out.
Yeah.
And I get frustrated and I can't.
Can't commit.
Yeah. Because there's endless amounts of chair models, Dale. There's so many chairs in the world.
There are.
And this little selection that I have in my local Staples.
It's not going to give you a true panoramic of what's really out there.
Yeah. It makes me hate the internet.
Right.
Buying mattresses, buying chairs, anything like that. It's great. I can order any chair I want in the world, but I can't try them out.
Right. That's exactly right.
And what am I going to do? You got a chair. You have to build it. What are they going to say when I'm like, hey, I want to return this chair and I built it. Do I have to unbuild it? Are you going to send someone
to
get it?
Yeah.
You're not. I know you're not. And I'm left here with the, trying to fold this thing into the box. And like,
yeah. It's not hanging out of the back of your car. It's just madness, dude. It's just madness.
I'm never getting a chair.
Should we talk about bone?
Let's talk about bone.
Let's talk about Yaphet Kotto. There's room in our bodily space to at least concentrate on one good thing this week. Yaphet Kotto.
You see his name anywhere, you know this is not slouch territory. This is, I'm going to pay my money and I'm going to feel good about watching this movie because I know at least, I don't know about these other Yahoos, but Yaphet, he's got my back. He's going to do the work. He's going to put something on that screen that I can appreciate.
Yep.
So Bone is about a well-to-do white couple living in, I guess it's Beverly Hills. And it's a day in their life when, they're at home bickering around the pool. And then Yaphet Kotto, he's a criminal. He's a rapist. He kind of wanders in the backyard, helps them with their rat problem. And then he says, hey, come on inside. I'm going to rob you, because you're rich people. You have the biggest house on this block. And what he discovers is, hey, these guys are kind of broke and they're a real mess. They're a real set of characters who are lying about every inch of their lives. And it just turns into a treatise on, what is this, 1973, 1972, on, the state of race, the state of class in America, the state of what advertising and salesmanship does to people. I think that's something Larry Cohen, from knowing his later movies, like The Stuff, he seems very obsessed with advertising and what, it's sort of like the Mad Magazine syndrome, Mad Magazine created, a generation of people who all of a sudden understood what advertising was and, how they were being manipulated.
Yeah. Wow.
And like the main guy, Andrew Duggan, he, you know, the the rich white old man. He's like a car salesman. So he's like, and he's famous for his commercials, his car commercials. And so this all sounds very boring and droll, but
yeah,
it's, Larry Cohen, man, he made a movie. He made a movie that we don't watch very often where he uses the art of editing to edit in things that aren't necessarily happening in real life. I'm thinking of when Yaphet and the couple go into their house and he runs that audio.
This house was built in 1929 by the family of William Randolph Hearst. The last couple that owned the house were getting a divorce. That's how we got it for a song. You know who lived here once? Tom Mix. Remember Tom Mix?
This is the entrance hall, the kind of vestibule which opens up to the dining room. And then just through this door, we get to the breakfast room, which usually is orange and yellow, and we used kind of sunlight as a motif. And then this is kind of the butler's pantry.
But it's not what's happening. Like, this is not what they're saying in the moment. It's audio, obviously, from like when they were like entertaining guests, you know, some time before. And I love that. Uh-huh. I love that. What else did they do? Oh, the opening with Andrew Duggan's commercial, you know, that he's shooting, but then all the cars, he's like, it's like a junkyard and not really a car lot. And then all of a sudden all these dead bodies start piling up in the cars. Stuff like that. It's
when he's doing his salesman spiel for the commercial, and then they like zoom out and you just see the junkyard, and then then they start zooming into the cars and like the dead bodies and stuff. I'm like, what the fuck is
And he's getting more and more ramped up with his like sales pitch to the camera.
He's totally selling what's not, you know, he's clearly selling something that's not behind him, but what we see is totally different than what he's lying about selling, kind of thing. Like, it's that's the beginning of this crazy movie, and at first you don't really notice it, but then you start paying more and more attention to what is going on around him as he's selling stuff to the camera. And at that point on, you're like, what the F is going on in this movie? And it never stops. Like the camera, like the audio versus the video.
Yeah.
Like you were saying, it just never stops from there. When they keep talking about their son in Vietnam.
Oh, yeah.
And it keeps cutting to this kid in a prison.
I love that though, because it's at first you're like, oh, he's been captured by the Viet Cong.
Yeah,
that's what I my mind went to. But then as they slowly reveal, oh, that's another thing they're lying about, that he's actually in jail for trying to smuggle hash out of Spain or something, and they didn't help him.
Yeah, and they didn't help him. And then how about Bones saying it's going to be legal here by the time he gets out?
Oh man, that didn't age well.
Yeah, I know.
God damn it. It's going to take a little bit longer, Bone.
It's going to take a little longer, Bone. But as soon as, you know, at the first 15 minutes of the movie, when Bone is just totally like this intimidating, silent figure, like he's half harmless, but half completely and awfully intimidating, and you don't really want to mess around with this fellow, but the amount of stuff that he unearths between this couple is like a snow thrower full of, it's just like getting hit in the face with reality. Like it's not all lounging by the pool with a 1,000-foot phone cord, and like, you know, it's everything else. It's like it's living paycheck to paycheck, even in this mansion in Beverly Hills, and having like three mortgages on your house, and husband having like this side bank account that he doesn't want the wife to know. And it's everything like that is unearthed in the first 15 minutes of the movie.
Yeah.
And then you're like, where does this go from here?
You know? I know, so much happens. And yeah, I had a pretty amazing start because right before this, we were watching some Real Housewives. I don't know if you've ever watched Real Housewives.
I live through you.
But it's, you know, it's exactly what it is, reality TV about rich, mostly white women. Not always. There's the Atlanta version. But it's fun to watch because they, you know, they love each other and they really hate each other and whatever. It's stupid. But it was really great going from an episode of that to Bone. And just that, like, especially that first scene where the couple's just out at the pool, like bickering, and then they discover a rat and they just like, they fall apart. They can't handle a rat.
Oh, man.
Like, it's just like, it's filthy. It's disgusting. What do? We got to call the pool guy. There's no way we can handle this ourselves.
Yeah. And the wife is
call the pool service.
And the wife is calling bullshit on him. And like it even goes to that far that she doesn't believe that there's a rat in there.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That was great. Oh my God. That was such a great,
It was, like, it felt so like, real.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. It's yeah. And Jeannie Berlin or Joyce Van Patten. Incredible, right?
Amazing.
Wow. I mean, we've seen her in other stuff, but
she was amazing.
Like, she was incredible in this, playing like the alcoholic housewife, basically.
Yeah, she played this character, you know, with like these undertones of things haven't been right for a real long time, but she's like surviving. She's dealing. You know what I mean? In order to maintain the lie, because she likes living in a house, and she likes, even though she's bickering with her husband the whole time, she likes laying by the pool, you know, midweek and getting drunk at the restaurant every night at the tiki bar and stuff like that. She, you know what I mean? So like, there's this vibe of she's just putting up with a whole lot because it's better than the alternative, you know? That's like a real punch in the reality gut right there. Oh, on top of like living paycheck to paycheck and trying to have nice things and living well beyond your means and that kind of stuff.
We should say Bone sends him out to withdraw the $5,000 from his secret bank account that he was keeping away from his wife.
Yeah.
Bring it back.
So it's all out in the open now.
Yeah. So that Bone can steal it and leave. But he's going to stay there with his wife. And, you know, there's the threat of rape constant in like the first half of this movie. And that's a whole other thing we got to get into.
Yeah.
But I liked how it was almost this thing where the white woman and the black man realized they were both getting it up the A by the white man. And they were like,
yeah,
fuck, man. Like, we're both getting screwed. Let's have a little class consciousness and kind of team up on this motherfucker.
Man.
That was cool. But then it was like, the ending is amazing because then Bowen realizes, he's like, oh no, wait, this is still not an even playing field.
Yeah. Oh my God. More the editing.
Yeah. 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 I love that ending. I mean, it's a perfect ending. Well done, Larry.
Yeah. More of the editing of you know, what she was spouting off to the police the whole time to try to cover her
right
ass.
Right at the camera.
God damn.
Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing. So once they separate, so Bone and Joyce Van Patten have like their own little storyline, and then Andrew Duggan, Bill, goes out to the bank and has his little adventure, and he like, you know, he sees him at the bank, and then he decides not to get the money out, and he's like, why would I do that? You know, he's not really overtly ever saying what's in his mind, but I think he realizes like, I don't love my wife. I don't care what happens to her. Maybe she'll get killed.
Oh my God.
And I'll be free of her, basically.
That's literally,
that's what was going through his mind.
That's what's going through his mind.
I love that detail. Remember when he illegally parked at the hospital? And the guy, the parking attendant, he was like, you're a doctor, right? And he's like, oh, yeah, he just lied. But the guy's like, hey, you left your bank book on the seat. Yeah. And the guy, like, I watched that again today. And I was like, oh, like because Bill kind of stops and like thinks about it. He's like,
yeah.
I think he realized he left it there on purpose. He knew a part of him didn't want to do this, like save his wife.
Yeah.
Sick.
Man. And he's got 20 yeah. minutes at the bank. He's got 20 minutes and the teller convinces him. He's like, you don't need to empty your bank account. Why don't you get a loan from us? Yeah. 2% interest.
Get a loan.
And he's like, and he looks at the clock. He's like, I got 20 minutes to decide. Let me decide. There's no sense of urgency. Like, what's happening back at his house?
Yeah.
Is anybody's.
No, I love that. Cause it was like, from when he leaves the house, like the urgency's on. Like it's like, oh, he keeps checking the time. Mm-hmm. He can't find a parking spot. It's taking forever. The parking attendant said it's almost 3:00. You know, that's 3:30. He has to be back at the house.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, he just like once that flip gets switched, he's like, I don't care anymore. I'm just gonna fucking wander around.
Yeah.
And hang out with this weird kleptomaniac girl.
Oh my god. When he goes across the street to just drink at the Regal Beagle there,
yeah.
Like I was like, fuck, this is like, I need to be in this bar right now, day drinking with these people.
Day drinking with the barflies?
Yes, with the bar. Oh my god.
And that lady had her husband's x-rays.
What a character her, what a character she was. And then what a character that the dead husband was, that was just written into the movie. I mean, the thing you find out about the dead husband is he's visiting every dentist in the area to get his face x-rayed, and that killed him.
Yeah. He was like going to a dentist getting like 4 x-rays a day for weeks or something like that.
And she didn't, and the wife didn't know until the bills started arriving. And then she carries around his x-rays as she's like drunk at the bar.
Yeah.
They go outside. I just love that whole sequence. They go outside to hold it up to the sunlight. Cause it's like, why are we doing this right now?
That whole vibe, because this is LA, it's very, I was really brought back to like early Columbo episodes. Cause this is that same time period, all those early Columbos in LA. And it just like had that same, the assaulting sun, but then you go into these like bars and it's like people day drinking and Columbo's in there asking questions. There's just something amazing about it. God. I love that. Yeah. I love that scene in the bar. And and then he's like, he can't pay for his drinks. And the kindly widow is like, oh, I got you, bud.
Yeah.
I love your commercials.
It's like, you're Larry Falcon or whatever your name is. Locken.
You're famous. I'll pay for your drinks.
Yeah. And then he wanders into this crazy, crazy woman. I mean, she's amazing. She's eclectic. The best kind. Yeah.
Played by Jeannie Berlin, who I recently saw her in The Heartbreak Kid. Did you ever see The Heartbreak Kid?
No.
Charles Grodin. Directed by Elaine May. That's a great movie. But she's in that. She plays Charles Grodin's wife. You know, kind of the same character where she's like annoying and a little bit dim. Mm. She's so good at that. But she in this, it's an amazing, you get, it's like a whirlwind getting introduced to her character.
I was so in love with this woman.
I know. I love the shot when first he meets her in the bank and she's talking about, what kind of checks do you have? Maybe I have the surfers. Maybe that's why my checks always bounce. And she laughs.
Yeah.
And then the next time he sees her, she's hopping from car to car stealing food stamps out of glove boxes.
I love how you think it's her car. Like it's made, you made to think it's her car that she's just a passenger in. And she gets out and then she gets in the next car and like opens the glove box.
Just total like nonchalant.
Oh,
and God. Just having this weird, you know, meet cute conversation with this older man.
it's like, I don't know, the way the cadence and the interaction between the two, it's almost like I don't know, like Tarantino or something, like some of the conversations that you would find in his movies or something like that. It's just, it's a very fun, high energy, engaging conversation between these two people, and it's constantly on the move. Like a lot of walking is had. Yeah. It's just great.
Yeah, and the stuff they're talking about, it's very like all the fat is cut out, and it's just like she's like explaining basically how she exists, you know?
Yeah.
By stealing food stamps, going into a store, filling up a grocery cart, putting a banana peel on the ground, knowing someone will slip on it, cause a scene so that she can run out with her groceries without paying for them.
And I just love her completely open, honest way about her.
Yeah.
I just love her openness and her willing to just reveal that she, she writes and complains letters. She writes complaint letters to these companies and she gets like a month's supply of free product because that's her grift angle. You know, she just bitches.
I love when she's like shoving food in her mouth and she's like, most guys, you know, I kind of scare them away. It's my metabolism. I can just, they don't understand how I can just put the food away and I'm not shy about it, you know?
And then I mean, in this weird cadence again, she starts talking about how she was, you know, molested as an 11-year-old at the movies. And it's like, and then that transitions into the sex scene.
Yeah. And how she keeps telling Bill that she smells like the man who molested her as a kid. And there's this very, you know, it's this transference of, you know,
her.
That being her first sexual experience and then kind of reliving it with this man who she's identifying as her molester.
After you've lost your virginity and had your kids, that phase is over and you can go on to the business of making money. Now, that's really personal, peculiar to each individual. Style, personality, they all play a part.
Who says you're not a pervert?
And he's like... I'm still trying to figure out Bill's journey a little bit in this movie.
Uh-huh.
Because, like, I don't know. I feel like the easy thing is to think, like, oh, he's abandoning his wife, so... And he doesn't... He says several times, like, he's all about business. Like, that's his life. Like, sex, you know, doing drugs, any of that other stuff he's not interested in.
Yeah.
He did that as a young man, but business is the thing that he gets off on. So, like... He doesn't do this. He doesn't have a mistress. He doesn't,
right.
You know, do this type of thing. So like, I guess that's what this is. It's like him sort of picking up a girl, a random girl, and kind of having that experience, you know, very soon, you know, he doesn't even know if his wife is well or not, you know,
yeah,
he's just abandoning her.
Right.
And he's, you know, just deciding, oh, I'm going to try this new life on, try on this new costume. I guess that's kind of what I kind of thought he was doing. I feel like there must be more to it than that. But, but yeah, then they have that sex scene and he knocks down
the gumball.
He spills all her gumballs all over the room. I love that detail. And then later he's in the advertising agency office and he pulls a gumball out of his pocket.
Yeah, he's just jumping them out of his shoes.
Oh, the shoes. Yeah, that's what it was. Oh,
meanwhile, the on-screen comedy of just certain moments.
It's
against this backdrop of this, like, you know, at times frighteningly serious movie. Like, you know, we get to the part where, well, you know, he's not arriving with the money. Bone was planning on raping this woman anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they have this conversation about it, but then he starts to go in on her, and with the attempted rape, like it turns into this physically assaulted, like the physical assault on screen. And I was just like, what the, like another level or another like emotion unlocked from this movie was like cringe, you know, this like on screen.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're going to talk about, like, we're not going to just treat Bone as this rapist villain. We're going to basically pause this rape and explore why he couldn't rape her. Because she wasn't scratching and fighting him enough for him,
right,
you know, to get off. And he like reveals this to her, you know, this woman he's keeping basically captive.
Yeah.
And then she's like, yeah. And then it's, I can't even explain the scene. Like, I don't even know how it happened, how this like flip happened, but like the roles kind of get switched. And then she's like, she's almost turning into a mother figure. And she's like, I need to show you that there's another way to have sex.
Yeah.
Which it's like, I don't know how I feel about this part. I think it's interesting to watch in a movie because it's make-believe and it's not real.
Yeah.
But
it's so this total psychoanalysis. Like, she's offended that, like, it turns into this weird, like,
that's true. Yeah.
She's offended that he couldn't rape her.
Yeah. Yeah. That was the other part of it. Yeah. And then, so she like tries to have like normal sex with him. She's like, just relax, take your shirt off. And then he's like, she's like tickling him. And he's like, oh, I'm ticklish. Like, he just like turns into this like gentle kid. Yeah. But and Yaphet has these great monologues about.
He does.
About like when he was like a teenager, he would, before the Civil Rights Act, and I'm sure Jim Crow was still around, he would just like walk into white women's houses and expose himself to them. And
then they changed it. They changed it all around. I found myself slipping. And there I was, I was holding on to the past because change is scary. And then they said, re-educate yourself. Learn new trades. What trades? The Pullman part of the shoeshine boy in me. What trade?
He sort of complains that he's like, well, now we're all accepted, which, there's varying truths to that.
But just, but he's just like, thinking 72, this is 72. So imagine how bad it was before he's saying this in his monologue,
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like, I guess it's like, was 68 the Civil Rights Act? So it's like 4 years after that. But he's like talking about how like, you see interracial couples on the movie screen now. And and I've lost my power,
I know. And he's harder.
Yeah, and he's confused. it's insane. And then they sort of like, through that, it's a big therapy sesh. Through that, they kind of end up bonding and realize, hey, we could make money off Bill, and because he's got this life insurance policy, we're gonna snuff him.
Yeah, let's figure out how we make the most money from his demise.
Yeah, and I loved how Bone, he put on like Bill's clothes, like that Mr. Rogers red sweater and slacks and stuff. And they took the car out and then they looked like a couple all of a sudden.
They do. It's fucking crazy how he just like, with the addition of a red sweater.
Yeah. It was like this transformation.
He's just complete. He's like one of the, they look like one of the interracial couples on a movie screen now.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's got this huge Bentley or Cadillac, whatever they were driving.
I love that scene of them driving like in the convertible while she's reading the insurance policy. And like, well, if we get this much, if he loses an ear, if he loses two ears, we get this much, all this stuff.
Man.
And Bones is like, no, we just got to end him.
Yeah.
And then we get into this weird chase. They track him down. Oh, one more scene I loved was when Bill tried to call the police. Like, he realized, he was like, I better address this and like see if my wife is dead or not. So he tries to call the police and he just gets this like snippy policeman on the other line who just like, he's like treating him like a crank and like.
But you like that, eh?
Now, listen here.
Listen, kid.
I am no kid.
Weirdo, butthead, faggot. How'd you like a nice haircut, huh? How'd you like to have your whole body shaved? You got any hair on your body, or is it smooth like a girl's, huh? My
God, this is like an obscene phone call.
What do you mean, like? This is one. Now, listen close. I'm going to take your head. I'm going to grab you by the ears. I'm going to put...
When it comes down to it, when, Bill's life is at stake and, they have him, they tracked him down, Bone and Bernadette track Bill down. I mean, Bill starts this genuine negotiation
Yeah.
Where,
how about this?
Like, Bill is just like, please let me live. You can have her. You can have the house. I'll live in the servants' quarters. I don't want to die. I just, you know what? It's better if you just move in and take all this from me, because then I can concentrate on my work. Like, take her.
Yeah.
Take the money. All I want is my business. Like, he.
I just want to live.
I just want to live. He was genuinely, like, he was selling it. I was like, oh my God, this guy.
Yeah.
His passion for his work, for whatever degree, I mean, he loves this work, even though I guess maybe there's the promise of always bouncing back and making money back. I mean, because he's clearly been suffering for years and not making money, or as much as he thought he'd be making. But God, the promise of him like striking it rich at any point like kept him going, and like that was his one reason for living, was his work and being the voice of these commercials.
My favorite part of that negotiation in the back of the bus, when he's like, I'll do all the cleaning and I'll do the gardening, and then Bones like, I like doing the gardening.
Yeah.
Like, oh well, we can. How about we switch off every other week? And Bones like, yeah.
Like, Bone is genuine, his interest in gardening now. Bone's not even moved in yet, and he's already like planting mums in the garden.
Bone's been totally,
yeah.
He's been like, what do you call it? What did they used to do to people to try and fix them? Sticking an ice pick in their brain.
Oh, yeah, lobotomized.
Yeah, he's been like lobotomized by Bernadette.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's, and then so they, crazy. So they're on this bus at the last stop, and the bus driver's like, get off, you guys got to get off. And then I think they're in like Malibu or something, because they run out into the sand dunes, and Bill's still trying to like, I think Bernadette's like, watch, he's really good at it. Don't fall for it. His salesmanship, because he's still trying to sell them. Mm-hmm. As Jeannie knocks him down and mashes his face into the sand and smothers him to death.
I like that line. I like that line where they said like, you get a hell of a long way on 25 cents or something like that. And just the last stop from the bus.
Yeah. Yeah. And then somewhere during that scene, Bone disappears basically into the thin air, and Bernadette's like looking around after she smothered her husband, like, Bone, where are you? She's like really freaked out that she's been abandoned.
And I like how you can kind of see on Bone's face, like the realization that, you know, with Bernadette killing Bill, he's like, this is not, it's all of a sudden, everything that we just planned in this car is going to be undone.
Yeah. And he's probably like, I'm going to get blamed for this. There's no doubt. Like, he could see it. He's like, there's no way I'm getting out of this in any way, Rosie. So I better hightail it.
Yeah. A day wasted.
Yeah.
A whole literal day wasted.
And and then we get that amazing scene of Bernadette, those quick cuts of her monologuing about what she's going to say to the police, saying the N-word, and he was a big black man. I thought he was going to hurt me.
He was going to hurt me.
Killed my husband.
Tried to rape me.
All this stuff. Yeah.
Crazy.
Roll credits. What a movie.
I'm so in love with this movie, everything about it. Just the energy and what everything that this movie kind of revealed was, I don't know, man. It's just, I didn't know what to expect. I only know Larry Cohen from, The Stuff and Q, the Winged Serpent. So this is completely different altogether.
Yeah. This is like, I had no idea that he started out doing stuff like this. This is very, this is like post hippie dream, kind of like social critique.
Yeah.
It's really good. It's like way better than, I've only seen a couple of his things and I haven't really liked them, but this is, I was super into this. I loved it.
Gosh, now's the part of the show where we talk about, what you talk about, because you send us your letters and your voicemails.
Yeah.
batandspiderpod@gmail.com, 315-544-0966, the official Bat and Spider hotline. First up, we have an email from friend of the show and Discord user Patty Nay.
Patty.
Hi, fellas. I knew I was in for a sizzling watch when in the first scene, the assistant kissed the doctor on the cheek. In Ireland, this very rarely, if ever, happens. For half the film, I thought he was called Dr. Medicine, which would have been the greatest case of nominative determinism of all time. I question the dojo scene. Never have I seen someone knocked out by a kick in the arse. Seems to be a large amount of bad press about the actions and chase scenes. You try chasing someone across uneven terrain and bell bottoms. Slanche, Patty. This is about the movie we watched last week, which was
Death Dimension.
Death Dimension, yeah.
No, yeah. All those fight and chase scenes were I'm sure a lot of work went into it, but it just wasn't compellingly shot. And they probably could have done some more takes to really nail them. Mm-hmm. But thank you, Patty.
Yeah, thank you, Patty. That was amazing. And Tim Hamilton. Love the show always, but I sent an email to Dirk and Marcy over at Movie Mixtape this week, and now I have to take turns with you two.
Oh.
I missed your movie and watched theirs, but love the show. I love both you and Movie Mixtape equally. Don't be mad. Love, Tim. Now, Tim, this is where things, you know, support the friends. Support all of our friends, please. But I thought as of today, Monday, you put in the Discord that you were possibly going to watch tonight's movie, but I guess you didn't get to it.
Yeah. You were like, do I have time? How much time do I have to watch it? I want to write in. Guess that was just blowing smoke. That's what they call that, huh?
Tim, in order to sell that better, you need to type that and push enter at like 10:15 p.m., not 5:15 p.m. Because as of 5:15 p.m., everybody, we still have 5 hours to go before we record the show.
We could have watched Bone twice,
before
we hit record over here.
Quite literally.
Work on your timing.
But yes, support Movie Mixtape because they're amazing.
That's it?
That's all
we got?
That's it this week. And we got a couple emails from Ko-fi because we have a Ko-fi page, ko-fi.com/batandspider. Support us if you can. You know, we're going to have some special episodes up there and just do it. We're gonna have some special episodes up there, and you get a special role in our Discord with your name turns black, and you have a little haunted black castle next to your name. That's cute.
Yeah, and when I look, I have all my Discord set in dark mode, so it's like really hard to see everyone's names when they
join
the Ko-fi.
Yeah, I was wondering that.
It's fine. I'm used to it. Actually, it's not bad.
You hate it, right?
No.
What do I have to pick a movie now?
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's your turn. We should cut together a sequel to Bone.
Dale, yeah.
Called Boner. And it's about, we can take clips from Growing Pains, from the family friend Boner, Joey Stabone, and him, like clips of him coming over to the Seavers house and annoying them.
Yeah.
Thank you for laughing at that.
Hey, Mr. and Mrs. Siva.
Didn't he meet with a tragic end? Was he the one that was something with when the Olympics were in Canada and he was like on the run or something or missing up there in like Victoria? I gotta look this up.
Oh, damn, you do that while I look for a movie because I need to know. Thank you.
Joey Stabone.
Real life.
Andrew Koenig was his name. He was found in Vancouver. His body was found.
Jesus.
Yeah. And this happened in 2010.
It just happened.
Yeah. Yeah, he like went missing up there and Remember they were looking for him? I feel like it, I don't know why I was thinking about the Olympics. I don't know. I thought there was something to do with that. I don't know. No, he was arrested at the Rose Bowl in 2008, protesting the U.S. involvement in the Summer Olympics in China. Yeah, sad.
Why do we even do this show? I can't find anything to watch, even though there's got to be something we haven't seen yet out there in moviedom.
Oh, yeah.
Got to be, lots. Right?
Oh, yeah.
1979, Chuck, a movie was made.
Okay. Apocalypse Now.
The horror. The horror. Directed by Joseph Ellison. Don't go in the house.
So you're saying don't go in the house.
Don't go in the house.
Don't go in the house.
In a steel room built for revenge, they die burning in chains.
Sounds,
as a child, Donald was tormented by his mother, who used fire as punishment.
Oh my God.
Now a deranged adult, Donald stalks women at clubs and takes them home, where he kills them with a flamethrower. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Sorry. It's got 4 stars by Anna Gull. So everybody, can rest easy knowing that.
Yeah. There's a lot of high scores I'm seeing.
Available lots of places to watch.
I mean, the free trifecta. You got Tubi, Pluto, and Vudu for free with ads.
Bing, 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 bing.
Good pick, Dale.
Yeah, let's watch a scary movie, you know?
Yeah, we need it. Need it.
Need it. Just feeling it right now.
Yeah. It's a great poster. I love this poster.
It's a beaut. That's that, then. It wraps that wraps up another episode of Bat and Spider, Chuck. Make sure you go to batandspider.com to check out our flow page with all of our links. You can find an invite to our Discord server. You can buy a t-shirt. You can, what?
You can,
you know.
I was going to say something disgusting.
Yeah.
Now.
Don't forget to like and subscribe. Don't forget to rate us on your podcast platforms of choice. If you're on Overcast there, just like click the recommended button. Recommend this show to people on Overcast, because us people
you
on
use
Overcast,
Overcast, Dale?
I do. I'm a big fan of Overcast. I love it.
I've never heard of this recommend button. What's that do? Is it like a like?
It's like a like, but specifically only for Overcast. So I don't think it uses algorithms outside of Overcast, but if I click like in Overcast, it's going to boost us, our visibility up in Overcast. And I don't think anybody ever uses the visibility feature of Overcast, but you never know.
Maybe I'll install Overcast and look at it.
Maybe. I think it's iOS only though. So rip in peace.
Wow. Talk about class warfare. All right, Dale, thanks for picking a movie. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you to the listeners for being here.
Does it always feel like we're just dead by the end of the show? It feels like
today
that, right?
Today was Monday, and it was not, I think neither of us, I'm a little drained, if I'm going to be honest. Okay,
that's what it is. Everybody who listens, everybody, like when I edit the show, it's like the end of the show is just like me. It's just like us muttering at the lowest level.
I'm trying. Yeah.
People are
squeezing,
just hoping
water from a stone.
Yeah. People are just like hoping that Toby's music kicks in, because they know it's the end by then. Especially when I take 25 minutes to pick a movie, it's like all the momentum out the.
This, it does.
This is why people start watch lists. Momentum. Like plan things. This is why people plan things.
You have a watch list, don't you?
Yeah, but it's all like, you know, the same 5 directors. My whole watch list is just like 6 degrees of other things.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's like, you know, there's such, you know, it's all 6 degrees of other things that we've done for the show. So it's like, I want to try to expand our field of view. It's all bullshit. What's not a load of bullshit is the end of this episode. So,
I can't believe we're still doing this.
Yeah, it's still going on. It's not over.
There's got to be a joke in here somewhere. Oh, we're at 2 hours, Dale. Let's end it.
Frig.
I mean, half that's picking a movie, so.
Love you, everyone. We love you.
Our theme song was created by Toby Forsman of Whipsong Music. Find out more at whipsongmusic.com.
This is a Tape Deck Podcast.
Bless us, everyone!